AJ, you're going to let me do the cold open this time, or you'll be sorry.
No, you'll be sorry.
No, you'll be sorry.
No, you'll be sorry.
No, you'll be sorry.
You are getting on my nerves.
You're getting on my nerves. I think we've done it. We have successfully mimicked the acting chops of the Olsen twins.
Yeah, I tried to pay attention this watch, and two things stood out to me. Number one was the acting ability of the Olsen twins in their first standalone TV movie. The other thing I will get to and things that I thought held up well. But before that, happy December, old kids. Welcome to your month of old kids Christmas and holiday content. I am AJ Beltis, as always, with Trevor Howell, the FPD bandits to my Sarah and Julie. And today we are talking about...
I'm Eddie.
Yeah, you are Eddie. But we are going to be talking about one of my absolutely shameless favorite kids' Christmas movies that I still watch every single year and will shout it from the rooftops that I still watch a Mary-Kate and Ashley kids' movie for Christmas every single year, at least once. And that movie celebrating its 30th anniversary, To Grandmother's House We Go. So I don't know if it was just it's cold outside because it's fucking freezing in Boston lately. I fucking hate it. That, and then on top of that, the Christmas tree lot across from my apartment is opening up. I watched this movie last night. I've been listening to Christmas music. I've been lighting candles. I've had my electronic picture frame. I set to put all my Christmas photos on there. So I am getting in the spirit. I am really happy for this time of year, as always, and I hope that you are too.
I haven't really done anything Christmassy yet, aside from watching the Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie. But basically, as soon as Halloween ended, all of the stores started putting all that crap up. You know,
Christmas.
Even before then, you walked into a Home Goods and they were selling their Christmas stuff. And the Halloween stuff was like on sale on October 29th or something. It's a little excessive. Like, I want like turkey socks, or I want some fall things. It's not winter yet. Don't push me into that box yet. It's still fall.
Tell that to the freezing cold wind that I experienced this weekend.
No, that's true. But 2/3 of December is the fall.
It's absolutely true. And that leads me to one of my favorite lines from this movie. No snow for Christmas? What a ripoff. Because we don't really get that many white Christmases anymore. And when we do, it just makes it very special. Well, before we jump into To Grandmother's House We Go, the other thing I want to say is, you know, this time of year, we really like to express our gratitude to our listeners. And the listeners we want to call out today, usually we thank them at the end of our episodes, but we want to thank them at the beginning this time. We want to say thank you to our patrons, our upper level patrons. At the higher level, you get sponsor credit in every single episode. So to Ray Munoz, Ben Franke, Trevor Sprouse, and Sawyer Christian, we just wanted to say thank you for supporting us this year. This is our first year doing Patreon. So to the four of you, thank you for signing up this year. And if you would like to receive sponsor credit in our episodes, as well as get at least one bonus episode every single month, please head over to the Patreon. The link is in the description. And you can get, like I said, sponsor credit, bonus episodes, and you'll be supporting the show. So thank you in advance for that. And yeah, anything else you want to say there, Trev?
Yeah, and also just thank you everyone that's supporting us on the $1 level as well. We appreciate the support and joining us on Patreon that way as well. Yet again, we haven't even hit full 3 years, but we've done it, I guess at this point, 2.5 years. So we are, mm-hmm. we are glad that we launched the Patreon and shifted our release schedule to help us keep this going in whatever way we can. And obviously we're not going to stop from here. So thanks for joining our team.
My God, I've already looked at what movies are celebrating their 25th and 30th anniversaries next year, and half of my suggestion season is already filled up. So it's gonna be a fun 2023.
Maybe the show will end when a movie hits its like 40th anniversary, and we're like, oh my God, we're too old.
It's like, sorry, I can't record this episode anymore. My kid's got his prom. We gotta get. Well, speaking of giving and making sacrifices for your children, let's talk about To Grandmother's House We Go, a story about two little kids whose mother is just way too stressed out. And the kids take note of that and decide to give her a vacation for Christmas and head to their grandmother's house. And on the way, they get into all sorts of shenanigans and troubles. So To Grandmother's House We Go, we've talked a little bit about Mary-Kate and Ashley in the other Halloween or the other holiday movie they were in, which is Double Double Toil and Trouble. That's their Halloween movie. And these two movies were the first two standalone Mary-Kate and Ashley movies, same production company and a lot of the same crew and creative minds behind Full House that said, you know what, for years we were crediting these kids as Mary-Kate Ashley Olsen because we didn't want to give off the impression that they were twins. We wanted one face for Michelle. But then when Michelle became a little bit older, more of a central character in Full House, they wanted to utilize the fact that they had these twins who were very popular, who were good enough actresses, who were young, who were adorable, and said, let's just put them everywhere. And the first movie that ever had them acting on screen together as a pair was To Grandmother's House We Go. Came out 30 years ago this week in 1992. And aside from a couple sequences in Full House where they did share the scene together. So there was one scene, I think, in the season one finale where Jesse in Full House was having like a vision or like a nightmare that had two Michelles. And that was the first time they were ever on screen together. I don't know if you remember that one. But yeah, this is the first time we ever saw them act off of each other as two individual performers.
I kind of forget because I've seen a lot of their movies, but I surprisingly hadn't seen this or Double Double Toil and Trouble. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of their like other movies. It Takes Two, Passport to Paris, mm-hmm. Our Lips Are Sealed. I saw like some of those. Though, and you haven't seen any of those as far as I'm aware.
Funny, I remember grilling you in the Double Double Toil and Trouble. I was like, so tell me why you haven't seen this movie before. Explain to me why you never watched it. You were just like, I didn't choose the movies I watched when I was 6 years old. This is, I think, the difference between you and I in terms of what we watch for our Mary-Kate and Ashley content. And if you want to hear about our experience and our takes on just the dominance of Mary-Kate and Ashley, head back to the Double Double Toil and Trouble episode. We don't want to rehash it here. But I think for me, aside from a couple of the mystery videos, which just to reiterate, we like gave those VHSs away to, there were four houses in our neighborhood. One of those houses was two girls. And so we gave them all of those VHSs. But I only kept on to the holiday ones because I liked watching Halloween movies around Halloween, Christmas movies, this and Double Double Toil and Trouble. Kind of fit that mold. But I never really sought out or even tolerated Mary-Kate and Ashley on their own after I gave those videos away, simply because I was a guy and I was gravitating more towards like Three Ninjas and Star Wars and Harry Potter and things like that. But tell me why, not that you didn't see this one, but that you saw When in Rome and Our Lips Are Sealed and everything like that.
I think just because my sister watched them. I don't remember the origins of watching these. I just remember watching them. I believe we had the VHSs to some of these. I don't even remember catching a lot of these on TV. There was a lot of direct-to-video movies that they were in. And maybe they were hand-me-downs or something, but I can't tell you how or why or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that's sort of the story there. There isn't much to say, unfortunately. But they were there, and I remember watching them with some of the neighbors and stuff really, really young.
So you've never seen this movie. Aside from when I told you about it, had you heard of it? Had you anything like that before?
I've heard of it, but I have not seen it, obviously. And I know a lot of folks are like annoyed that I haven't and that we haven't done it yet. So we're doing it, finally.
30th anniversary, man. I'm fucking old. All right, so I loved this movie as a child. And for whatever reason, I mean, this is a children's movie. This isn't a kid's movie. This is a children's movie.
This is a children's movie. This is a movie for children.
And for the most part, I would say I've really outgrown a lot of the children's content in my life. Like, I don't go back and watch The Shrunken City anymore, if you're familiar with that. Anything that is made and marketed for children, like specifically for
that's
kids
a movie
under
for nobody.
Eight. Well, I love that movie as a kid. But you know what I mean? Like, this is a children's movie, but this is the only children's content that I will still make a point to watch every single year. And just to bring this back up, a lot of you who have been listening to the podcast know that I have an Excel spreadsheet. And every single December, I start working my way down my Excel spreadsheet. And I start with the movies that I love for Christmas movies, but I'm not trying to save for like the end, the anticipation of Christmas. Whereas the movies that I love the most for Christmas, I save to the end. So I always save Home Alone and Home Alone 2 as a Christmas double feature. And then before that comes Elf. And then before Elf comes To Grandmother's House We Go. This is one of the last things that I kind of save as close as I can for Christmas. That's how important it is to me.
So this is an always watch for you.
Yes, absolutely.
No matter what.
And absolutely.
We will find out if this is the year that it stops or it of course makes the list.
No, I mean, spoiler alert. Yes, I'm old enough and conscious enough to know that this movie is not flawless. But this movie represents something. And I know I kind of say the same thing every year when Christmas comes around, but this movie really represents a time in my life that I hold precious and that I feel very nostalgic towards. And I think it's really the last one. Again, I don't go back and watch Double Double Toil and Trouble every single year. I don't go back and watch all of those old DCOMs every single year. I don't watch like fucking preschool shows every single year. But I watch this every single year. And maybe it's the Christmas aspect. I have a lot of things that I love about this movie that we'll go into. But this one stays. And I don't think anything else really does.
Wait, from like children's movies or
children's.
Okay. Children's movies. Because there's a lot of movies you'll just always watch, but children's movies for
but
sure.
But there's a difference between this and Freaky Friday.
For sure. So I will watch the Rankin Bass specials because I think they have a charm to them, even though they're not really for adults necessarily. They're just kind of charming and they're also short. You know, the Rudolph and Santa Claus is Coming to Town specifically. Those are just very charming. Mm-hmm. And also How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon. Like, it's very charming and short and sweet. You could watch all of those, all three of those, and it's shorter than 2 hours, I think. So, like, I that's, like, the only children's content I'd say I will watch every year for, like, Christmas or the holidays or whatever.
Right, but I would say put it in this perspective. I know you don't go into the office anymore, but if you were going into the office and someone said, hey, Trevor, what'd you do last night? And you were like, oh, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was on ABC. Your coworker would be like, oh, I love that, or I loved that. And you would probably have a conversation about the Rankin Bass stuff. If I went into my office, because I still do go into the office, like, what'd you do last night? I watched A Grandmother's House We Go. They'd look at me like I had 7 minutes.
No, I feel like you'd get maybe 2 to 4 out of 10 people be like, oh, well.
Yeah, but they'd be like, this 28-year-old man is watching To Grandmother's House We Go. Whereas I feel like if you say, I watched Rudolph or I watched Santa Claus Coming to Town last night, there's a bit of a more commonly accepted classic artsy nostalgia to it. This is a one-off cash grab from the Olsen twins.
So this, I guess this is more of a, people would be like, oh, I loved that movie as a kid, but they're not like, I watch this still today.
Right.
You get less people for this movie than you do for the Rankin Bass, where you could still have people saying, oh, I loved the Rankin Bass movies growing up, but people still watch the Rankin Bass specials every year. Okay.
Absolutely.
I see where you're going with this.
That's what I'm going for. Okay. And just a reminder for those of you who are newish to the show, we did the Old Kids Christmas special back in Christmas of 2020. Honestly, one of my favorite episodes. If you ever haven't listened to it, want to hear us talk about our favorite Christmas episodes and movies and TV movies. To Grandmother's House We Go was my number one Christmas movie as a TV movie or special. So and there it stays. It's not moving.
Why is this even a Christmas movie? Because over the river and through the woods, that's a Thanksgiving song.
Yeah, it is a Thanksgiving song. They even sing
literally
it in
the name of the song. It's like, yeah, a song for boys about Thanksgiving. That's like the name of the fucking song, the original name.
So they sing this even in the Charlie Brown the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, whatever that one's called. Where's the pumpkin pie? Did you ever see the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving?
I've seen that one maybe a couple of times. Brown's another thing that's for like children that I'll rewatch because the Charlie Brown Christmas is really good.
I know. You love that. That was your number one in the Old Kids Christmas special.
Yeah, I think it's just delightful. It's very short and sweet, and the animation has such a rustic charm to it where the backgrounds will just change colors.
Yeah, it is. It is on my Excel spreadsheet. It is on my Excel spreadsheet to watch this year. I am definitely not skipping that one. So pretty excited about it.
Anyways, let's actually talk about the content of this movie. Let's talk about the film.
For sure. Let's go over the river and through the woods right into, for its 30th anniversary, To Grandmother's House We Go.
Sunday, the twins from Full House hit the road for the holidays.
What are you rugrats doing in here?
We're trying to get to Grandma's.
Hey, stop those girls!
Somebody help!
Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Duck!
To Grandmother's House We Go.
This is where you cue the cowboy music.
Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. I've got a lot of things to say about that. I'll save it for member berries, but it involves a lot of childhood confusion.
Were you a cowboy kid?
No, it was... So I was a kid who didn't understand the idea of, like, intersplicing in clips from other content into your own content. So I always thought that, like, my VHS was broken, or I was like, wait, did they make a mistake in the movie making that there's... I didn't get the whole Roy Rogers, John Wayne, like, cutting in.
Okay, but that was... I thought that was pretty bad and pretty nonsense and unnecessary. Okay.
But see, it is essential to understand Eddie's character that he envisions.
You can just get that by him singing. It was just really weird and out of place in this movie.
Yes, I agree. But, before we talk about things that we don't like about this movie, Trevor, do me a favor. I humored you a couple of weeks ago for Treasure Planet. Humor me.
Tell me
things.
Treasure Planet's great.
So is this movie. Tell me some things that you liked about your first viewing of To Grandmother's House We Go.
I really liked Eddie's character. I think he's a fun character to have in this. I think at times they didn't know when to have his story beats happen. Like, mm-hmm. He's so focused on this lottery thing and his motivation is kind of all over the place. And you think he's like, oh, he actually cares about the kids because he's like sacrificing everything to go to the bathroom. And he's like doing the right thing and buying them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And then once he gets to like saving the girls, he's like, I got to get home by 6. Bye bye. I feel like I thought he wouldn't be doing that, but then he just does that anyway. So I thought his character was a little all over the place plot wise, but his humor and comedy, I think, is there. Maybe except also when he's just hitting on what's her name? Rhonda. When he's hitting on Rhonda at the convenience store, I think maybe.
Hey, why don't you come over to my house tonight and cook me some dinner?
what a proposition there, Eddie. Come over to my house and cook me a meal.
Eddie, you better be careful.
Well, see there, Rhonda, you really do care about me. I tell you, why don't you come over to my house tonight? You can cook me some dinner.
See? This is why I can never say anything nice to you. You immediately hit on me.
Okay, so I specifically wrote that line down because I also, the first thing I noticed this watch, because I said I noticed two things. Number one was the Olsen twins' acting is really not that great, unfortunately. The second thing is I never realized how much I liked Eddie as a character, because I feel like out of everyone in the movie, besides Sarah and Julie, you need to like Eddie. Like, if you're looking at this as an adult and critiquing this film and saying, who do you need to really, really like in order to buy into this movie? I think Eddie is that character. I think he's very well acted. I love his kind of like soft cockiness. I love how he is with the twins when he's in a good mood with them. And you're right, he does grow. It's a little bit inconsistent and all over the place. But ultimately, if you look at where he is from, like, not liking kids to his journey with them liking kids, and then I wouldn't say that he doesn't dislike the kids after they go missing. I think he's just a little bit too in his head about winning the lottery. He doesn't want the kids to never be found again. It's just he's got $1.3 million on the line. And then, of course, he comes to his senses and like, wait, there's more important things than money. That, of course, is the very moral. That's the moral of the story. And I do think that, you know, if we're trying to go for the morals of this, he doesn't get the $1.3 million. If you're trying to make this a really challenging film and show that this is more important than that, you can't have both. And I think if we would make this movie excellent and thought provoking, what could we do? You got to have that happen.
Is this how the lottery worked back then, though? What a shitty ass system.
I don't know. That's just, you got to win and spin.
You got to win. So you could basically hit the numerical lottery of getting, what is it, 5 or 6 numbers perfectly on this?
6, 13, 19, 8, and 7. It's 5.
Okay. So 5. You could get 5 numbers exactly. I'm guessing it's from 0 to 100 or maybe 1 to 99, however.
Probably 1 to 20, I think.
Oh, it's only 1 to 20?
That'd be my guess. I mean, they're all under 20.
Yeah, but again, this is how unlikely winning the lottery is. But just getting them all perfect, that's such a statistical improbability. And then you have to spin the wheel and you could walk away with $500. I guess $500, it's better than not having it. But if you hit the statistical improbability of getting 5 numbers from 1 to 99 correct, you gotta get something crazy for that. And you pay for this opportunity. I don't know. And you have to get there by 6 p.m. You have to actually go to a location and spin it that day. Just, I don't think that's how the lottery works anymore.
It's not, and it never has been, but this is just, it makes sense. It's a ratings thing, especially if like the TV sponsors it, and probably don't, but you know, if it's a TV show, you could think of it as like you're buying a ticket to the TV show. I don't want to read too into it. You're correct, but
yes,
it's fun.
So aside from all the silliness there, I did like his character. I thought he had some funny lines of comedy, and I liked how he's just delivering them. He like uses Mary-Kate and Ashley as a way to get tips for the holidays. I like some of the lines where he actually killed the snowman. Like, oh, I don't see any snowman.
That's because you killed him.
All right, let's talk about that scene, because that was one of the biggest scenes that I absolutely love, is when Eddie drops off the package to Rhonda and he finds out that Rhonda's a mother.
Mister, you killed our snowman!
I don't see any snowman.
That's because you killed him!
Oops. Right. He doesn't look too good. But hey, it's 65 degrees out here. He would have been a puddle by noon.
We're telling.
Oh, no. Please don't tell, because I get in trouble.
That's the idea. Mommy.
What's wrong?
That man killed Frosty.
Rhonda, you're a mommy? Oh, I got a package for you.
I'll be right down.
When my mom gets here, you are going to get it.
Can't believe it. Sludgy Babe's a mom.
A real mom who can get you in big trouble.
Rhonda, you're a mommy?
She wants... what do they want him to get sent to his room?
Make him go to his room! And I really like the, you know, that was for killing Frosty. That I forget which of the twins, because, you know, they're child twins, and they're interchangeable. But... That was a funny line. I also liked when the four of them were together and Eddie's kind of playing on the twins. We're like, can we go, please, mom? He's like, yeah, come on, mom. There's going to be a carnival and everything.
Yeah, he's playing it. He's basically just a little kid as well. And I like when Rhonda kind of roasts him. It's like, well, you're reading this WrestleMania magazine, so you're not exactly an intellectual.
That's the other scene that I like is when, well, there's a lot of other scenes I like, but that was one of the other scenes that I like is Eddie and Rhonda. The mini mart when they do their introduction.
Oh, come on. Why won't you go out with me, Rhonda? I mean, we got a lot in common.
Name one thing.
We both wear name tags. See, Rhonda, Eddie, Rhonda. Kind of things.
Oh, Eddie, how do I say this? You're not really my type.
Rhonda, you don't know a thing about me.
Well, let's see. Mini donuts, beef jerky, jelly beans. I know you're not a health nut.
Well, hey, I take a Flintstone vitamin every single morning.
WrestleMundo magazine. So I'm guessing you're not exactly an intellectual.
Well, you'd be guessing wrong, because the crossword puzzle in there happens to be extremely challenging.
Hmm. Oh, and 5 Winnow Lotto tickets, which tells me you threw away your paycheck on the lottery.
This week's big jackpot? $1.3 million.
Eddie, every week you tell me how much you're going to win, and every week you're a loser.
Pause. Well, I half like that scene.
Why? Is it because of him, like,
being aggressively not understanding the word no?
I hear where you're coming from. I never saw it as, like, disrespectful, because it seems like they had a bit of, like, a friendly banter with each other. It reminded me of like the classic sitcom, like Freddie and Carly. I know that's like not a classic sitcom, but you know, Freddie really wants to go out with Carly, and Carly's like, no, Freddie, we can be friends, but I don't, you got to get over this whole crush thing. And he just doesn't. And that's kind of how I read it.
But he's showing up at her job basically every day and hitting on her. And she's like, please stop hitting on me. But he's like, oh, I'm still going to do it. It's problematic because she's telling him, and same with iCarly, like they're telling him not to do it, yet he still does it, and it's played for laughs. And yeah, it doesn't cross any weird, creepy boundaries, but the issue is that they would not do that today.
Probably not, just because you're right, it is kind of a dated trope.
It's a very dated trope is sort of where I'm coming from.
Well, I mean, so let's talk about the scene independent of that, because they do have like a good conversation. Personally, I like his system. I like the idea, well, someone's got to win, it might as well be me. And it works out for him. So I think Eddie single-handedly created a generation of gamblers. But I love when she's like, name something that we both have in common. He's like, we both wear name tags. Eddie, Rhonda, Eddie. He almost has some Joey-like qualities. I know you don't watch Friends that much, but I get a little bit of Joey from him.
Yeah. Well, I know. I've seen Friends. I've seen a good number of Friends episodes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's two other things I like, characters. I like the detective and I like the bandit.
Okay, well, let's talk about the detective, because I was thinking either Trevor's going to fucking hate this guy or he's going to love him. Definitely.
Absolutely. I like the scene where they have lost the Olsen twins and the mom is like, oh, I got to find a picture. This one's 2 weeks ago. We went to the zoo. That's Julie and that's whatever the fuck her name
Sarah.
Is. Sarah. And that's a monkey. He's like, I know, ma'am. I'm a detective. I like that line a lot.
This is a picture of us at the zoo. That's Sarah. That's Julie. That's a monkey.
I knew that, ma'am. I'm a detective.
Well, the girls love monkeys. They both sleep with little stuffed animal monkeys. Their names are King and Kong. Shouldn't you be writing this down?
King and Kong. I got it all right here.
And then I also appreciated the line when the phone rings and he goes, that's the telephone. And she says, I know. And he says, just doing my job.
Yes. So I kind of like the banter that the detective has, and I think he's funny. Mm-hmm. I think he gets a little bit much at the end of the movie, but he is kind of funny.
Yeah, and it's been half an hour, and we have not really talked about the FPD bandits. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, this is very clearly a riff and response to the success of Home Alone and the Wet Bandits. And I told you this, and you were like, how dare you compare this to Home Alone? Yeah, the premise is not the same. However, they obviously wanted to try and draw some similarities to probably increase the ratings and everything, and created a similar situation where bandits kidnap the kids or try and steal some things and chaos ensues and there's antics with bandits. One of them is named Harv, which is not unlike the famous Marv in Home Alone. But I actually really liked the bandits. I thought it was kind of cute that they were husband and wife. And I thought they were good characters for like this children's movie because they weren't like totally evil. And you actually see them like turn themselves in at the end. And I thought that was kind of sweet.
Only Harvey does. Shirley does not want to. And I know I said this to you already, but to me, I see what you're saying. I hear where you're coming from. But to me, it's like a trope, like naming a kid in your Christmas movie Charlie. Like there are, I think, several Christmas movies where the kid is named Charlie.
Sure. But I think having bandits specifically, the fact that they're called bandits, there's not that many criminals that you're like, oh, it's the bandits, unless it's a Western.
Yeah, I mean, they're the FPD bandits, you're right, but they're more so kidnappers than bandits as we see them in this movie. They are bandits, but they kidnap at the end. Some of my favorite scenes actually do involve them. I really like Sarah and Julie sassing Harvey and Shirley in the back of the truck.
Who ships their kids to grandma's? Don't they got to be in a box or something?
Harvey, stop thinking. You're not good at it. I'll handle this. I know how to talk to these little droolers.
Hi there. My name is Shirley, and this is my husband, Harvey. What are your little names?
My little name is Sarah.
My little name is Julie.
Are these shrimps making fun of me?
I'm not sure. I think so.
I think my absolute favorite line from them is when they're trying to explain how they work for Santa and they're elves. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, we served in the army together.
We were in the army together. He just like looks at them down. Oh, man, that's great.
Absolutely amazing line.
I love, who is it? Jerry Van Dyke. He's probably the best performer in this movie if we're looking at pure talent, I think.
I think so as well. And that's why I think I liked them a lot. But they're playing like whack-a-mole. And they're like, yeah, we almost have enough tickets for the for the yo-yo. He's like, what? I want the paddle ball.
He's next also time, Harv. Yeah.
He's also just like a big kid in this movie. And like, yeah, they're like the criminals and the villains of this movie, so to speak. But they're kind of wholesome and charming, or at least he is. And I think that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Shirley is not a good person. I also think of the scene where they're all singing to Grandmother's House We Go. And she starts singing my hubby and I will move to Hawaii and we'll be rich. And you know, one of the girls says, that's not how it goes. And she said, I wrote the song. Okay, I'm an elf. And then they keep singing and you hear Shirley go, don't you guys know any instrumentals?
Though, okay, the scene where Eddie is singing cowboy songs, he's like not a bad singer. And they're like, my ears hurt. I'm like, no, I could just watch a movie of him singing cowboy songs the entire time.
Really? That's your idea of a good time?
I thought he was kind of charming.
All right. Well, last thing I want to say about the wet bandits. Here we go. You're right. Okay. The other thing I'll say about the FPD bandits is the scene where Sarah and Julie are on Buttercup and they're just yelling at Harvey, you know, Harvey is a liar. And one of them just goes, he is not a elf. And he has everybody looking around him. And he's like, what? You've never lied to your kids?
And I like the trope of grown-ups will say anything to get you to do what you want.
Grown-ups will say anything to get kids to corroborate.
Oh, corroborate, yeah. I also like the fact that the Olsen twins flat out stole a sleigh at this carnival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll give them one thing. They are very confident in their ability to get to Grandma's house. They are...
Without even having to cross the street.
Yeah, without crossing the street. They're just very confident if you just keep biking in random directions, or in this case, a circle, you will get to Grandma's house. Because they probably sit in the back seat in a car seat, and they just eventually get to the destination. Like,
listen, they got there. It worked.
Yeah, they ended up getting there. They somehow managed to miraculously get to Grandmother's house by no means of their own. Also,
fair.
How dare the manager make Rhonda work on Christmas with two twins raising two twins? That's just like criminal. Fuck that.
Listen, it's a 24-hour store. Someone's got to do it. And the reality is she got half of $1.3 million at the end of this, and she doesn't need to work ever again. So, I mean, she's likely losing her job for quitting in the middle of the day and closing the store. You know, she probably get a slap on the wrist for just shutting the store down because her kids are missing. You know, it's a legitimate excuse. But then just bailing on Christmas and telling somebody with 2 hours to go, oh, sorry, you have to work all day Christmas.
Haven't you seen Clerks? You can totally just close the store whenever you want.
Yeah. But she's a millionaire with Eddie, so they're good.
They are good. I can't believe she ended up kissing him at the end of this movie.
Well, come on. That was a great scene.
Was it? I don't believe that she would, after all of this, want to be with him.
See, it's because Eddie grew at the end. This whole movie is Eddie's story. That's the thing.
What? Eddie grew?
Eddie grew.
Yeah, he grew, but he didn't grow enough to be what Rhonda was looking for. Like, I get what they're trying to do.
That's
obviously
up for Rhonda to decide, Trevor.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, it is up for her to decide. But her tastes in what she's looking for don't change. She wants more time to herself. She wants to spend time with her kids, though. And she very clearly does not want him for all the reasons she suggested. And throughout the entire movie, she's like, I can't believe you lost my kids. All you care about is this money. Like, all this crap. He still has the same qualities that she doesn't like in him. He is still not her type.
I disagree because he did effectively throw the money away to help find Sarah and Julie and then literally save their lives. So first off, he made the right decision to not go and help look for the kids. On principle, that should be enough. But then in actuality, those children were going to fall off a cliff. And she watched him her daughter's lives. And I feel like that helps. And obviously they went through a lot off screen. You know, they you know, he helped her with the deliveries and the pawning, and they spent like a good time together. So there's a lot that we didn't also see. So I think this goes back to my earlier point too. Like, she's not repulsed by Eddie. You know what I mean?
I guess she's not repulsed at the end, but not being repulsed is still not the same as being attracted.
Right. But I think he does enough. Based on 90s movie logic, he does enough in a justifiable way for her to be like, okay,
sure,
I'll date you.
But based on TV, direct-to-TV movie logic.
So she probably is just like, okay, he really does care about me. Again, sure. 90s TV logic.
Well, he does care about her anyway because he's trying to get with her
right.
The entire movie. But he's not a bad person. Sure. I guess she misjudged him. I think this is very 90s TV thing. I think the romance would be handled very differently if they made this kind of thing today. In any case, I don't think it was the worst part of this movie.
All right. Any other scenes you want to call out here?
Bob Saget's fun to see. R.I.P.
I had this as a dislike, but what really angered me about this, and this is more of a Lori Loughlin thing than a Bob Saget thing, but when they're doing their catchphrase, they're saying win and spin, not spin and win.
Here we go.
All right. Win and spin.
You heard it, baby.
Win and spin.
He's saying it.
Win and spin.
Here goes the ball.
Win and spin.
He's saying it.
Win and spin.
Sequentially, they should be saying spin and win because you spin first and then you win. But the tagline of the Lotto show, they say win and spin. It should be the other way around.
No, because you win the lottery, then you get to spin.
But you don't know what you're going to win
you
spin.
You win by getting the numbers right, so then you get the chance to spin.
I see what you're saying, but it always pissed me off because they're doing the spinning. The spinning is already happening, and while the spinning is happening, they're saying spin. They're saying win and spin.
Yeah,
the spinning is, and then it should be like win and spin and win.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It should be win and spin and win.
It should be a circle. It should be like a flywheel. It was great to see the two of them. It was good to see the two of them together, the hosts of Wake Up San Francisco again. And I don't know if you saw it, but Candace Cameron was also in the audience.
I did not see that. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, so you get, and apparently, I've never seen this. I've scoured the audience in my multiple rewatches, but apparently, Andrea Barber, who plays Kimmy in Full House, is supposed to be in the audience as well. I've never seen her, but, you know, so be it.
That's kind of wild, too.
Yeah. All right, who else do I got? I've got two words, Trevor. Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's Christmas Eve.
I'll take those two in for you.
'Tis a season to be jolly.
Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men.
Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve! 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 Christmas Eve!
Shut up! I know it's Christmas Eve! Big deal!
Did you like the scene where they almost got arrested and then they convinced the detective to take them back to the Winnow Lotto?
No,
get out of here. Get out of here. Come on. Christmas Eve. Goodwill to men. Peace on earth.
This is when I thought the detective was too much. He was like, fuck it.
Yeah. Shut up. Big deal.
Yeah. This is why I was like, okay, this is kind of there for no reason. They didn't really need this. They could have had this moment without, we're getting arrested. Now we're getting arrested. They could have just been at the carnival and like, we're never going to make it there in time.
No, because I feel like they needed some come up in, because he even said when he's putting him in the car, like, you two better expect some community service as a result of your shenanigans.
I guess, sure.
I don't know. I like the chant. I like the whole crowd yelling. I like grandma yelling. And I love him doing the shut up.
I liked the scene where they're in the streets just walking around aimlessly and they're just like, and then they just start dancing to this busker. And they fucking drop chicken wings or whatever. This is like from their house, right? They brought that from home. So cold chicken wings for this busker. And he's like, did you just drop a chicken bone in my case? Like, well, there's some meat on it. And he's like, oh, all right. Yeah. All right. For sure. Yeah. For sure. I was laughing at the fact that they dropped food because they're like, oh, we think we're being generous by giving food to this person. A random story that this reminded me of is I had to park in New York City at one point, and it was kind of like a valet thing. So I was like, oh, I probably have to tip this person. And I left the car there for like, you know, a few days. It was one of those parking garages where you could. I had like, you know, no cash on me. And the guy like drove up and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I want to tip. I don't have any cash on me. And he like looked in the back seat and I had just tons of snacks and like sodas and stuff. He's like, well, would you be willing to part with some of your snacks and drinks? And I'm like, yes, take whatever you want. And
that's cool.
It was just kind of funny. He was like, yeah, I I don't worry about the tip, but I would love a bag of chips. I'd love like a Mountain Dew, and I'd love like some fruit snacks. Like take three of each. I don't care. It was kind of funny.
That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, if he's going to buy it anyways, probably gets him through a shift a little bit better.
Yeah, I feel like if you're working kind of like in a garage or so, something where you have to kind of sit in this office that you can't really walk around that much, you probably have to have snacks that aren't like super messy and probably just, at least when I worked in similar places, I would have kind of snacks like that. So yeah, I don't know. That was funny.
Unrelated.
But you know, I guess that scene is slightly racist if you look at it that way.
Unrelated, but have you ever seen the movie P2?
No.
Oh, it's like a Christmas horror movie that takes place in a parking garage in an office building.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good. Wes Bentley plays the killer from American Beauty, Ricky Fitz.
Oh, yes.
I have a couple quotes and then general things, but is there any other scene that you want to call out before we list those off?
I've listed a bunch of the scenes I liked. Another line I guess I liked, this is part of that whole ending scene where they steal the sleigh. It's like, wait, Rudolph is just a horse with a red nose.
There's a couple of great lines in that scene.
There's a couple of really good lines in this movie.
When they get arrested, and it's like, when Harvey's fessing up, one of the twins goes, and they're not Santa's elves. And he says, it's all true, officer. Even the elf part.
That is funny. Also, I like how they recounted to Eddie their entire journey up until this point. And they specifically reference, hey, you forgot when we gave food to a busker.
We dropped chicken wings.
We dropped chicken wings in the guy's musical case.
Other quotes. If you could do anything in the world, what would you do? I would finger paint. That is very fun.
Okay, this scene I think might be my favorite scene in the movie when they're at this restaurant eating peanut butter and jelly and they order the most egregious way possible. They're like, I want peanut butter and jelly. The peanut butter on top. Really crust off.
Smooth, but not crunchy, and all the crust cut off, please.
And then she orders that with the same jelly, and he's like, yeah, I'll have the same thing, but with the crust on.
She's like, gotcha. I really like that scene. What else do I have? I
think they worked really well together, more than they did with the mom.
The three of them, I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the mom, Freeze It Babes always made me laugh when they were trying to run out of bed at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
No snow for Christmas, what a ripoff, is always my go-to line when it is not a white Christmas. I want to call out the music. I like the kind of Christmas chimey songs, like the saxophone riffs I could kind of take or leave, but when it's trying to be like sentimental Christmas, I really like the music. I really want to call it out because it's scored by Richard Bellis, which, funnily enough, this person is one letter away from sharing a name with my uncle. But he won an Emmy for the miniseries It from 1990, which, Trevor, you know I love. So the music is coming from a really well-established, award-winning composer. And I think one of the reasons why I like this one so much is the initial Christmas theme that plays during the more sentimental parts.
It was, like, synthy, and I thought that was very interesting. But it also kind of felt very, like, TV movie music.
Yes. Totally fair. But, again,
I needed more jingle bells.
Sure. Well, the last scene that I want to call out, I forgot about this one. I really like the scene when Eddie is telling Rhonda about his aspirations, about how he's like looking out of his apartment and seeing someone pick his toes. And he just says, you know, I want something bigger. I want a big ranch. I want my space. I want to live in Montana. I don't know. I really liked that character moment for Eddie about how he doesn't just like cowboy movies. Like, he wants to live the life. And I enjoyed that scene a lot. Do you have any other scenes that you want to call out or anything else before we move on to dislikes?
I think I've labeled most of them at this point. I generally just think, kind of want to reiterate that I really do think the best scenes are with Eddie and the twins and the bandits with the twins. I think largely when the twins are on their own, it's not as good except for when they're kind of wandering around. Like that first time when they leave house, they're like, okay, let's smash our piggy banks. We have like $3.23 in coins, or we're gonna make it to grandma's house. They fucking sneak on a bus. It's totally improbable, but the fact that they can't cross the street is, but they still think they can make it. I think it's just kind of comical. And they're like, they wave to this like little kid in a stroller. They're like, oh, those were the days.
Yeah, it is good. I think, and we can move this into the dislikes, but I think the twins are a lot better in this movie when they're working off of somebody. So you get to move into things that don't really work well in this watch?
Yes, let's do it.
So the kids are not great in this movie. And again, they're still young. I think they're 6 in this movie, give or take, maybe even 5 by the time they're filming this. But there's a couple awkward pauses. I'll insert them here. But there's one part where they're talking about Barney and the brownie. And one of them says, mine's in his mouth. And then there's like a 3-second pause. And then the sister says, do you have any more? And then there's another time where, you know, they're on the bed in the RV and they're like arguing like, give me that, give me this. And they're fighting over the blanket. And I thought that was really poorly done.
Stop wiggling. Stop breathing on me. Give me that. Give me this. No, you give me this. I'm going to tell on you. No, I'm going to tell on you.
They're still learning. They're still figuring out how to be independent actresses, but there's definitely some scenes that could have been performed a little bit better.
There's a lot of weird comedic timing in this movie and a lot of EDR lines that don't super work well. The mom is like, okay, let's take you girls to bed. There's a really weird pause and then they're just like, no bed, no bed. It almost feels like they're trying to film some, like a rehearsal. They're like, okay, In between when they say the line, in between when the mom says the line and the twins say the line, it almost feels like the director is like, okay, Olsen twins, now say your line. Like, I can almost hear the director saying this just because the pause is so noticeable.
Yeah, it's a little bit unpolished. I think even just taking some different takes would have helped. I mean, they probably were on a tight budget, a tight schedule, but they shouldn't be feeding a dog a brownie. Just to go back to that earlier point.
Yes.
You can't give dogs chocolate.
No, you cannot. And they just kind of brushed that over. The dog is literally holding a brownie. It was like, whoop.
What even said? I've looked at the Letterboxd reviews for this one, and one of them said, I wonder how many kids tried to feed their dogs brownies after this. Oh, sorry. What do you not like about this watch? Or your only watch?
I think, as I said, the scenes, the Olsen twins with Eddie and the bandits are pretty fun and entertaining. I think the scenes where they're by themselves largely or with the mom are kind of painful because their acting chops are not very strong here. When they're together, I don't think that their strengths are when they're together. I think they're better when they're the cute one in the room, like in Full House, like the cute little kid that has the zingers. Like, you got it, dude.
Yeah, and it's interesting that I really do think, because I did actually, out of curiosity, go back and watch Double Double Toil and Trouble this year, and just even 1 year difference, I felt like they were better in as actresses in Double Double Toil and Trouble than in To Grandmother's House We Go. So even 1 year, and potentially even less than a year, I feel like they were maybe more comfortable together, because they never really had to work with each other, had never been in a movie together, so... You know, they didn't have a laugh track, and they were transitioning to a different style of making content. So maybe this was just a transition, but even by the time they did a movie months later, it was better, in my opinion.
Though I don't know. I think I liked this movie better than Double Double Toil and Trouble.
Of course, because it's a better movie than Double Double Toil and Trouble. Okay, but this is interesting, is that one of the other things I noticed, and I argue this on Double Double Toil and Trouble, is that the fact that Mary-Kate and Ashley, or in that movie, Lynn and Kelly, are twins is important to the movie. You needed twins to be in that movie. Like, it was all about the duality. I'm giving it a little bit too much credit, I know, but it's about the duality of twins. It's the Cloris Leachman. It was Agatha on Sophia, and then it was Kelly and Lynn, and like being twin sisters. Whereas this movie could have been the exact same movie if it was just like, you know, a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old siblings.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that they're twins. And I think largely their movies don't. It's the fact that they're stars, and that's how we can sell a movie. You know, that's basically
sure.
it takes two. It's important. It's basically it's a worse version of Parent Trap.
Right. I still haven't watched that one.
It is but a riff on Parent Trap.
But that is a genuine difference. Whereas, again, I really do think the fact that they are twins in Double Double Toil and Trouble, they baked that into the story. There are story points dependent on them being twins specifically, whereas this one, they did not need to be twins. It would not have affected the movie one bit if you put two siblings in this movie.
Yeah. And I think that the gimmicks that they're trying to do, I can only take so much of it. I can only take so much when they're like, no, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. Yeah. No, you're stupid.
I love you more. I love you bigger.
Yeah, I can only take so much of that. It feels like they're doing sitcom one-liners the entire movie.
Right.
And I think their lines are genuinely bad. Like, it's cute when they're ordering peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at a restaurant, because I think that's just mm-hmm. comical. Like, oh, ordering peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because they're cute little kids. This is...
Right.
It's just aggressively annoying when they're trying to one-up each other by saying the same things. They're terrible debaters.
I remember being a kid being confused, like, why would you get peanut butter and jelly at a restaurant?
Yeah, well, that's the joke.
Yeah.
I think it's the rule of thirds in that scene. I think that's why I like it. The comedy rule of thirds is because when he orders it, that's what makes the joke. And I think I think generally they don't really have any emotional growth in this movie. They don't have any... them as characters aren't really essential to this movie. Honestly, we might have not even needed them. They could have been like in this movie 20%, and it could have been the adults trying to find them and stuff, because that's really where the emotional core is. That's where the growth of characters are. I don't really feel any sense of relief when they get to grandma's house, which is what the whole fucking movie's about. When they get to grandmother's house, I was just like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, they were trying to get to their great-grandmother's house. I forgot that that's what they were trying to do. That's the name of the movie, and I totally forgot that that's where they're trying to go. I totally got wrapped up in everything else that was going on in this movie. I also have no idea how far that they're actually trying to travel. Is it like
3 hours, they said.
Oh, 3 hours?
There's a scene where they're on the bus, and the weather lady's practicing with them, and she said, does this bus go to Edgemont? And the lady goes, well, that's 3 hours from here. This bus only goes downtown, then back uptown, then back downtown. Yeah. Get the idea? So that's what happens there. The only other thing that I had as a dislike for this movie is there's a line that did not age well, and it's the scene when they kind of hit the police officer's car, and Eddie's apologizing for bumping into his car and maybe making a dent, and the cop says, well, it is Christmas Eve. I guess I don't have to shoot you. And that did not age well for me on this watch.
No, did not. It does not.
Any other things that you did not like?
It is not funny. Merry Christmas. It's not funny.
Anything else you want to talk about before we go through the rest of our topics tonight? Sections, categories, all that fun stuff.
I think the plot is genuinely kind of uninteresting. And a lot of like the actual stuff that happens is uninteresting to the twins. And it kind of takes a while to actually get to... Oh, we're going to grandmother's house. I think it's more of like what they could have done is, hey, we're two twins getting into total antics. And the fact that they never do anything that they're twins, they never do any like fun gimmicks or tricks against people. And that's how they get out of situations. Like, imagine if they escape the bandits because they're twins, or they get away with things because they're twins. They're like, excuse me, where's the bathroom? Oh, it's this way. And then, like, she could be like, hey, excuse me, where's the bathroom? They're like, oh, watch, there's two of them.
Like, yeah, again, like, they do more of that in Double in Trouble, which is why I give that a little bit more credit. But
in terms of
filling on the twin thing.
Yeah, I mean, how many times can you do that in a movie with, like, the same stars? That joke runs old very fast. But I would have liked something if you're going to make it a point that they're twins.
I agree.
You can't make every movie with twins be about the struggles of being an identical twin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then the movie is basically the same story, but in different environments.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, there's not like a whole lot of just general negatives. It's just, it has a made for TV budget where it's kind of lazily shot. There's nothing super interesting about the way it's shot. There's no fun tricks. There's no like Wes Anderson style of shooting them. Make them right up front and center. I think that could be kind of fun with twins. And also just the fact that it's standard def, it's made for TV, is kind of throws me off a little bit. You kind of get used to it as you go on, but I'm like, yes, there's no widescreen version of this. This is like on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of
no HD version, but you know,
no HD.
It'd be great. We'll see if we can get this in the Criterion collection. Okay. Any adult jokes you wanna call out here?
Not necessarily that there were adult jokes, but I thought there definitely could be adult jokes. It was crossing into the line, like, oh, are they going to make one? Oh, no. When she was talking about going to Daddy's R Us and picking her up, mm-hmm. like a husband or something, I thought it was like, is she going to? Nah, she doesn't say anything weird or like inappropriate. I'm like, what's that? And then the time where he was like, send him to his room. I thought he might be like, yes, mom can come as well. I don't know. I thought that because he was like being all weird and stuff at the convenience store.
Yeah. Well, the only I had two adult jokes. One of them kind of going off of that, the entire scene where Eddie finds out that Rhonda's a mom and he's like, oh, kids. All right. See ya. And she said, Eddie, this is the first time you didn't hit on me. And he's like, I got to go. That kind of went over my head until I was probably a teenager, is that like Eddie does not like kids. And that's why he dislikes Rhonda now. The other thing I would say is, mommy, you're missing all the fun. And she says, no, I'm not, sweetheart. When they, lottery scene. Yeah. So those are the only two I had. Do you have a drinking game?
Anytime.
I've been slacking on drinking games.
I know we kind of have slacking been on drinking games, but I found one pretty early on for this one. And anytime that they like say the same thing to each other, like you're going to be sorry. No, you're going to be sorry. And they fucking pour oatmeal on each other.
Yeah. I love you like more. That. I love you bigger. Come on, yeah, Julie. We're a team.
I love sorry you 3,000.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll co-sign that one and I'll come prepared for the next movie that we're doing.
It's okay.
I have a lot of member berries. So why don't you go first?
I think generally this reminds me of trying to like figure out your plans as a kid, when it's like, oh, you know, you have plans for the holidays, you expect certain things to happen, and then it's like, oh, it's not gonna happen, so you kind of like the idea of like, well, we'll just run away myself, listening into your parents when they're talking to like their friends, and like then you hear something that they say about you. I don't know if you've ever done that. I was a nosy little kid, so I was always assuming that my parents were talking about me to their friends. A lot of the times they were, but I was just like peeking in like, what are you saying here?
Anything else?
Not really. Those are kind of the big things that triggered this for me that are like new on the member berry train.
I will try to go quickly because I have a lot. The first one is taking out your Christmas videos. I'm sure you did this, but like the anticipation of around Thanksgiving where they'd be in your attic or they'd be in like a separate section of your living room or basement where you'd go and get the Christmas videos, the Rankin Bass. This was one of those that I would take out. I even remember doing the same thing for the Santa Claus and just having like a section of video. Oh, you didn't have that?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so you know how you'd like take out your Christmas decorations at the after Thanksgiving? We always had like a box for our Christmas videos, or there was like a section for our Christmas videos. So just kind of the anticipation of opening that section of your home entertainment system or something. That was big for me, and this was always there since before I can remember. So that was a huge member berry for me, is just thinking about that old like 1990s entertainment system that we had until we redid our living room, and just all the VHSs fitting in there, and this one being in there, and the Santa Claus and the Rankin Bass movies and Jingle All the Way and all those movies. It was great. This is a big fighting with your siblings movie, as you mentioned, with the whole back and forth. So that kind of struck a chord with fighting with your siblings. Wanting to play the lottery as a kid, I think I went through like the summer when my birthday's in June. So the summer before I went to college when I was 18, I feel like I played lottery like once a week or twice a week, like just did scratch tickets, and I outgrew it. But that was definitely like once I turned 18, I was like, I can do scratch tickets and this is going to be awesome. The Daddies Are Us line, as you mentioned, like number one, I that line like always stuck out to me because I was like, wait, is that like Toys R Us? But I genuinely thought that there was a Daddies R Us when I was watching this in like kindergarten and preschool.
Did you really?
Yes.
That's silly.
Wanting money in your presence, the scene where they open their purses from Great Grandma Mimi and there's no money, and they're like, oh, no money, Sarah, Julie, I feel ya. Threatening somebody that you're going to tell on them was very big. Sitting on Santa's lap, and then lastly, being confused about the black and white scenes of the cowboy movies and wondering what the point of it was.
Yeah, well, as we learned today, there is no point, and I think it was silly and stupid.
Listen. It is integral to the storyline of Eddie.
It's so integral.
All right, let's talk about how and if we want to make this movie in 2022, 2023. Personally, I think that this is actually kind of a sweet concept for a movie. I think, you know, I feel if you made it as another TV version, yeah, you could make it on like Lifetime or something like that, or Hallmark. But I would be okay for, you know, a well-produced movie about two kids who are trying to give their parents or their single mom or single dad or single parent a break for Christmas because the parent is overworked, and then they end up stumbling upon robbers and a story kind of unfolds. I would be okay with that coming out. Just make it with siblings who can act better. But I think we both saw some gems in this movie, and from what I'm hearing from you. And so I feel, yeah, like better acting, a little bit more polished editing and production. Give another shot. I'd be okay with it.
I don't know if they could really make this again, because the premise of this movie isn't, oh, they're trying to get to grandma's house. It's let's work with the Olsen twins. That's the premise. Let's make a Christmas movie with the Olsen twins, which is the premise for all of their movies. Let's make one in Paris. Let's make one in Italy. That's literally the premise of all their movies. Like, the Olsen twins, where are we going to put them? There's not really, like, twins that we really see that are like, hey, this is such a big deal. I feel like the Olsen twins were such a pop culture kind of duo that you can't really replicate that in the same way today with any of the stars. So I don't see the point of even trying to make it. Well, and here's the other thing. All the Christmas, like straight to TV Christmas movies and things are all like Hallmarky or as we saw, like the Netflix now is Netflix will do the Hallmarks type style of things. And that's one of the things in this movie is it doesn't feel like one of those Hallmark movies. It feels different. The tone is different. Mm-hmm. It's a very specific tone that the Hallmark movies and those kinds of movies do. And this movie is not that. So I want to give it props there. I think if you say like, you know, there's a gun to my head, it's like pitch me, oh, grandmother's house we go in 2023, 2022, 2023, whatever. I would say you could make a movie where two kids try and get to their grandmother's house for some reason. And I don't know, maybe you could just make a Thanksgiving movie instead based on this song.
Sure, make it a Thanksgiving movie. That'd be great. So, I mean, but what I'm hearing,
their parents died.
I am not at all opposed to just having a movie like this with siblings. So that's why I would even push back a little bit on the whole grandmother thing or Olsen twins thing, because they don't need to be twins. I really am okay if you're just like, you know, two siblings who can act, or, you know, two actors who we want to cast as siblings, go for it. I'm fine with that. And I feel like I would get just as much enjoyment out of it. So that's my recommend there.
Yeah, I guess it's just sometimes it's like that when a movie is very clearly made from a specific, not necessarily because of the story, but because of like, well, we have these stars attached. How do we make a movie around them? You know, like I don't know too much. I was trying to find a little bit about the production history. I couldn't find too much, but I imagine that the idea behind this was let's get the Olsen twins in a Christmas movie.
I would love to see
the Olsen twins again. Right. That would be fun. But,
sure, but I'm just saying that I think you can make a movie without it having to be twins. I understand that was the reason why this movie was made, but I feel like you could make this movie again and not have it involve twins. And
I agree.
Initially, better if you made it with a better production and everything.
I totally agree.
Sweet. All right. You want to move on to final verdicts?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Trevor, why don't you go ahead? I'm anxiously awaiting. Did they make it to grandma's house, or did they not make it to grandma's house?
I feel like they at least got halfway there. With a little bit of help, they got there, I guess.
Hey, okay. All right.
I feel like it's charming enough to have this on in the background. If you have like a big family gathering and the kids can watch this in the corner, I feel like this is a perfect movie for that kind of thing. I would not recommend this movie to anybody, or really any of their movies, to anybody that doesn't like kids movies or that wouldn't like have a good time. Like generally people that are just like into movies and stuff, I don't think would have a good time. But if you have a little bit of a young heart or you can tolerate some childlike antics, you could probably enjoy this movie, especially in the holiday season where like, you know, cheery things, anything that's like just positive at all, you can enjoy. So sure, I'll give it a light recommend.
This is probably the greatest victory that I've felt since you recommended Three Ninjas. And I feel like, you know, Three Ninjas is my all-encompassing favorite movie from childhood. This is the same thing just for the niche period of Christmas. So I'm elated. This is a total victory for me to hear you say that. Yeah, I'm going to give this a recommend. Honestly, though, I probably will share the same sentiments as Trevor, is that if you're not a very nostalgic person for the early 90s, if you didn't have Mary-Kate and Ashley growing up in your life, if you know, you don't really like that early sense of nostalgia, this is the one movie that I think breaks that mold for me, that I am willing to go and do it for. So it's very niche. It's very unique in that sense. But overall, if you probably look at this movie and you're like, I'm not going to have fun with it, you're probably not. But if you live through this time period, if the Olsen twins meant anything to you, if you want to go back to that time of like counting down the days until Christmas and just being a kid again, this movie really accomplishes what it sets out to do and brings you back there. So I'm going to give this a recommend to anybody who fits that criteria.
Excellent.
And two recommends. This is the best early Christmas present I've ever gotten. This is great.
I can't believe it. I don't have to get you anything then.
I didn't say that. I said early Christmas present. I didn't say Christmas present.
All right. Well, that'll do it just about until next time.
Yeah. Do you want to tease what we're doing next time, Trevor?
I've never even seen the movie we're doing next time, but...
You insisted. I'm excited. I've seen it like once or twice.
I insisted because, just like last year, I wanted to fit some kind of Hanukkah-esque movie or adjacent movie in here, and we are doing a DCOM. It is the Jewish movie DCOM about basketball.
Man, it is a miracle that we're finally doing this movie.
It is a miracle.
Well,
just like Hanukkah was a miracle.
I think that's going to do it. I'm excited to give this one another watch. It's been a while, and yeah, let's do it. But until then, you can follow us on Twitter at Old Kids Movies. You can follow us on Instagram at The Old Kids Movies. You can support us on Patreon. The link is in the description to this episode. What am I missing? Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. That would be a great early Christmas present for us.
Yes, please do.
Oh, and also, you know, this is our third year of doing Christmas content. So we've done episodes on Elf, Polar Express, Jingle All the Way, Eight Crazy Nights, Unaccompanied Minors. Just the list goes on and on and on. And so if you do want to go check those out, check out our backlog of episodes. Scroll back to last December or December of 2020, and you'll be greeted with, I think, almost 10 episodes of Christmas movie content. So go check it out. We've got a lot covered. And I'm just also excited for what we're going to do this year. We got a great next episode planned. We've got a great Patreon episode planned, and we've got a great double feature coming for Christmas. So really, really excited for all that.
We can't wait to open presents. These are our presents to open.
Yeah. Films. And we're giving them to you. So
we're giving them to you.
All right, guys. Thanks again for supporting. Appreciate you listening. We will see you next time for a Hanukkah-themed episode of The Old Kids Movie.